There's many people who'd interfere with fairy forts, but not so many who profit by it. Let me tell you a story about it. There was a man living in Craigachaska. We'll call him Johnny. And he was mad for shooting. And he had a friend, Pat, who lived near him and who used to go with him on every outing. Well, one day, they went off and they did the round of the countryside thereabouts, out by Dangan, over to Tuna, and back by Cluny. Anyway, 'twas falling dusk as they were passing Corbelly Fort on the last part of their journey home. Now, Corbelly is a big double-ring fort on top of a hill. Two rows of bushes, white thorn bushes, I suppose. And they could see the moon rising above the bushes as they passed it on their way. 'Twas in the month of November, so it was dark early in the evening. And just as they were passing, Pat said to Johnny, "Hey, look, look above on the bush. You see the big white bird? Yes, he's as big as a goose." "What are we talking about?" said Johnny. "I see no bird. Here, give me the gun, and I'll shoot him." And he took aim and let fly into the middle of the bush, and he saw the bird fluttering down in a cloud of feathers. "Hold that gun," says he, "and I'll go up and get the bird." Up he went, up the hill, and he came to the place where he shot the bird, and there inside, under the bush, he saw it, in a cloud of feathers. He put in his hand, and he caught the bird. But the minute he caught it, 'twasn't a bird that was there at all, but what looked like suds. And he pulled out his hand, and it was covered with suds. And he showed it to Johnny, and he says, "There was a bird there a minute ago, wherever he went." "Aye," says Johnny, "come out of that place. I don't know what you did, but come out of it quick while we can." And home they went. The following morning, there was no sign of Pat, and Johnny went over to the house and knocked on the front door. No reply. He went around the house, and he looked in every window, and he came to the bedroom window, and there inside in the bed he saw Pat stretched, and he knocked at the window, and Pat rose up his head, right wake looking. He beckoned, and Johnny up went the window, and he says into the room, "Pat, what's wrong with you?" "Oh," says Pat, I tried to get up this morning, and I couldn't. Here, will you ever come in and make a drop of tea for me? I'm wrecked." "All right, but where's the key?" said Johnny. "You'll find it there, next to the front door, where I always keep it." Johnny went around, got the key, opened the door, and went in. God knows, he saw Pat inside in the bed, and he looked fairly shook. "Hold on," says he. He made the tea, and brought it up to the room to Pat with a piece of bread. And he watched him while he drank it. "I don't like the look of you," said Johnny to him. "I'll go to Quinn for the doctor for you." "Do that, if you wouldn't mind. I don't feel at all good." And he was looking like a man now that he'd be after coming in from frost, shivering in spite of the hot tea. Johnny went to Quinn, and in a while after, the doctor came over in his sidecar, into the room, and the first look he took at Pat, he said, "Oh, hi. I can do little for you. I'll take you over to Garoura Hospital." At that time, the workhouse was in Garoura. They used to call it a hospital, but I'm not so sure. They used to only put in there the cases that nothing else could be done for. They loaded him up on the car and carried him over to Garoura Workhouse, took him into the ward and checked him in there, and all they could do was leave him. He was there alone in the ward and that night. He didn't know what hour 'twas, but he heard the noise. And he looked over to where the noise was coming from, and there, coming through the solid stone wall of the workhouse, he saw a leg, and another leg, and another, and then he saw the hands, and two men stepped in through the wall, and a coffin up on their shoulders. And the coffin came in after him, and 'twas then he saw the third man, with his two hands up holding the back of the coffin, and the three men. They pointed themselves in Pat's direction, and he there now shivering with fright inside in the bed and couldn't move. They brought the coffin over to the side of the bed, put it down on the floor, and started unscrewing the top. Oh, he thought his last hour on this earth had come. They took off the lid of the coffin, and there inside was the fourth man, and he all marked and cut and torn like he'd be after being shot. One of the men pointed at Pat. "Out of that bed," he said. "Look at what you did to my brother when you shot him above on that fort yesterday. Get out of that bed, or I'll guarantee you you'll never again leave it, and pick out every shot, every pellet out of him. Pat, as best he could, climbed out on his hands and knees, down on the floor, nearly passing out from the terror, and started to pick one by one those pellets out of the wounded man. And when he had the last pellet picked out, the man sat up inside in the coffin and gave a horrible glare at Pat. Pat fell back under the bed and thinking all the time that they were going to put him now into the coffin. But his relief when they took the lid of the coffin, put it on and screwed it down again, took the coffin up on their shoulders and marched away over the floor and out through the wall of that place just like they had come in before that. And the minute the four of them were gone, out through the wall, Pat dragged himself into the bed, covered his head, and he was there in the morning when the doctors came. The minute they put their hand on him, he gave a lip, thinking that somebody was back for him again. But when the doctor examined him, he said, "Hi, there's nothing wrong with you. Out of the bed with you." And Pat found he could jump out of the bed. He was as good as new again. They discharged him from the hospital that morning. But I needn't tell you, he didn't interfere with a fort again. He didn't give himself a chance. The first opportunity he got, he headed for America. And, as far as I know, he made a big fortune there afterwards, unlike some of the other people who interfered with fairy forts. But he had luck, you see.